Church, how are you doing today? Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you would. Good to see you today. Are you glad to be in the house of God?
Yeah.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Listen, if you're a guest with us, we're honored to have you here also. And at Hope Church, we give you anonymity, which basically means hang out and hide out. Make yourself at home. We will not ask you to say or do anything to draw attention to yourself. We want this just to be a great experience. Amen.
Amen.
And, you know, that always kind of weird thing for me when I've visited churches and they have everybody stand and sometimes sing to you. I don't like that. Maybe you like that. And if you do, I'll stand and sing to you. No, I'm joking. I can't sing, so that won't work. But hey, like that one video, we have another series coming up after this. This one's called Blood Moons. Make sure you're here for that. I am excited about that one also because that one is not only biblical, it's also relevant to what's going on in our world. NASA's been tracking these, what they call blood moons, which is a lunar eclipse. What makes them unique is that when there's four of them consecutive and that they land on a Jewish feast or celebration, and that has only happened three times in the past 500 years, and every time it's happened, there has been a major historical event attached to it. Now, am I saying that, and Jesus refers to this, we see this in the Bible, Jesus refers to the sun and the moon being red and the sun being dark as sackcloth. Am I saying that it's the end of the world as we know it or the rapture? No. I don't think it's wise to try to give a date. But I think it's not wise to ignore the signs. And so we're going to talk about what is NASA seeing? What does the Bible say? What is all that? How does that work? And the cool thing about that series is when we're done with it, it will be the beginning of the first blood of, because there's four of them, the first of the four blood moons. And so that's pretty relevant. And so that's coming up in a month or so. Are you ready for the word today?
Yeah.
Come on, put your hands together. Let's get this thing going. We started a series called Code Orange. Code Orange. Orange is an interesting color. It's one of those things that if you want to just blend in with everybody, don't wear orange. You know, it just stands out. See, a group of people, someone wearing just bright orange, they're going to stand out, are they not? And we've taken that context that God wants us to be bold and bright. It doesn't mean that God wants you to be weird or obnoxious. And it doesn't mean that God wants you to be loud. Some people are loud. That's okay. That's fine. But if you're quiet, just the thought of being loud in front of people makes you nervous. Some of you are just quiet. That's okay. It's not saying that you have to stop being quiet or if you're loud, you have to learn to be quiet and stop being loud. That's your part of your personality. We have to learn to be what you call the billboard for Jesus without trying to be something that we're not. When we're trying to fake it or try to be something we're not because someone told us this is what looks spiritual, that's when we get ourselves in trouble because the world and anybody else can look and say they're not being genuine. See, you can be bold and bright for Jesus. You can shine your light. Jesus said you're the light to the world. And the idea is that the light doesn't have to be something it's not. It just needs to be what it is. And because it's light, it automatically is going to make a difference in its world. And as a believer, as a Christian, if we love the Lord, if we're serving Jesus, if we're allowing him to change our life from the inside out and we're growing, because we should all be growing. No one's perfect. Some people will try to act like they're perfect. No one's perfect. Oh, but they're on TV and I see them preach. They might be a great preacher, great minister, great man or woman of God, love Jesus, and have a lot of things right, but no one's perfect except for Jesus. We should all be learning. We should all be growing. And the fact that you're growing or learning something next week means right now you don't know or aware of it because it's a growth process. Can I get an amen? But in that growth process, in that development, in that spiritual maturity, in that life change, call it what you want, in that John 10:10 dynamic life, as you're growing in the things and becoming what God wants you to become, doing what God wants you to do, and receiving and having what God wants you to have, there shouldn't be a rhythm where you can hide it. How does a person who is blind, that experiences the healing power of God, hide sight? He can't hide it. He's been so impacted by God's power that wherever he goes, those who knew him before will see that there's a difference because now he's reading. Right? You can't hide that miracle. Well, it doesn't always have to be that spectacular to be significant. And the key element to that is that for us in our walk with God, if God's truly doing a change in your life, truly doing a change in my life, then we should be somewhat different than everybody else. If we match the world for the world's sake and we act like the world, talk like the world, laugh at the same jokes the world does, and no one can tell us the difference from the world, then what does Christianity have to do? Because for some people, Christianity is no more than just attending a church and praise God you came, or saying your name's on a roll. And around here, we believe Christianity is all about following Christ and having that real relationship with Jesus Christ. And if I have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to change. It doesn't mean that you have to stop liking sports. No, they'll be weird. It doesn't mean you have to start acting like somebody else. I've seen ministers who were mentored by a 90-year-old preacher, and here they're 20 years old, and they're shuffling in their feet because that's what they saw. But listen, he was 90 years old. That's why he shuffled. Give the old man a break. He was 90. Let him shuffle his feet, right? But just because he shuffled his feet because he was 90 doesn't make it spiritual. You're 22. Quit shuffling your feet. You see the difference? And so it's not trying to become like somebody else. It's not trying to match what everybody else is saying, but learning to be ourselves and allow the genuine power of God that makes a genuine difference in our lives shine. And it doesn't mean you have to preach every place you go. It doesn't mean you have to talk about Jesus to every person you talk to. It doesn't mean every stranger you see, you grab their hand and say, where do you go to church? Would you like to pray? You want to accept Jesus? I'm not saying that. Let's find some balance. Can we do that? Let's find some balance. I mean, one of the things, and the reason we tend to do that is because someone told us that we have to do that. And it's not us. And we're just trying to be something we're not. And it really throws a lot of people and offends a lot of people. And I'm not saying you shouldn't witness. Should you witness? Absolutely. Should you invite people to church? Absolutely. Should you pray with people? Absolutely. Should you read your Bible? Absolutely. Should you pray? Absolutely. All those things are good. But sometimes we can take it out of context and think that you got to read your Bible 24/7. And here, someone's paying you a paycheck and you're over in the corner not doing your job because you're reading the Bible thinking you're doing the right thing and you actually could be doing the wrong thing. There's a balance. There's a balance. I remember in college, some friends that went to another church and they got saved. And they were so on fire for God, but they defined their spirituality by such a level of zeal that it was impractical. And it was like, instead of taking notes, they're reading their Bible. You got a test coming. There's a balance here. Be genuine. Be genuine. Be real. God will change you from the inside out, but not to imitate or match somebody else. But he brings the best out of you because life has a way of contaminating the mix. And some of us have been exposed to so much, you don't even really know who you are because all the pressure. Have you ever seen somebody under pressure or situations and then they get a chance and they get a break away from it and it's like the old, I mean, they start getting happy again and having some fun. Where before, under the pressure, they can't even smile. See, life in elements and problems. It's like the weather. Are you enjoying this weather? God bless you. I pray for you because you need to pray for me because I'm when Christmas is over, I'm done with the snow. I don't know about you. I don't know if we have to relocate this or what, you know what I mean? But when Christmas is over, snow's over, let's move right to the spring. I'm ready for the warm. And every time it gets cold, it's supposed to be cold again this week, 2 degrees, I think. I just think it's like an endurance. I'm trying just to endure to the end. But, you know, weather can affect you. They tell us that when it's sunny, it affects the way you feel and the way you see life and see yourself. When it's rainy, makes you feel a little more gloomy, less energy, don't want to talk to people. When it's cold like this, it has a way of affecting us. Life has that same effect. It can try to contaminate, mess things up, pressure us, and cause us to not be who God called us to be. So we have this concept of orange, but orange is not a color that stands on its own. Orange is a, what they call a, not a primary color. Orange has to be a mixture of two primary colors. And for you to be what God's called you to be, for you to fulfill your destiny that God created for you, to have what God's called you to have, to reach those God called you to reach, you cannot do it as an island to yourself. You are not able to do it. It just doesn't work. Orange cannot be orange without the mixture or partnership of two, at least two. And in the rhythm of life, I think that's one of the greatest great ideas of God was this concept of a church, more than a building, more than a service. It's a community of people and relationship, because you can't do it. The Bible says it this way. You're a part of a body. You're a piece of the body. You're not the whole thing, though you might think that it's all about you. Just point to the person next to you and say, they need help, Jesus. No, we're a part of this, each and every one of us. And God has given each and every one of us a function, a purpose. And when you understand your function, your purpose, and your direction, and who God's called you to reach, it will free you up so much, because you won't be trying to be everything to everybody. Can you imagine if your kidneys decided it wants to be a heart, because throw the whole body in the way. See, and when you understand your function, your role, your assignment, your destiny, you're going to flourish. It's like a bird. When it flies, it's flourishing. When it tries to swim, not good. Take a fish. When it swims, it's doing great. Try to get to fly, not good, because it's out of its element. So, and that's maybe another side of this whole series, is to identify who we are in God and according to his word and his will, so that we can flourish and excel. So we're not trying to compete with other people or compare ourselves. Man, I wish I was just like that or doing that. Or I'm going to copy them because it worked for them. Well, it might not work for you because you're you. But God has created you with a destiny. And you can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. It's a partnership. But yet there's still stuff that we deal with in life that will try to contaminate, water, confuse. Call it the weather. Call it the pressures of life. Call it the problems of life. Call it the crazy people in life. And just look down and don't look at anybody right now, just so they don't blame you later. The pastor said that. You looked right at me. I knew you were talking about me. But there's a way for us to handle this stuff so it doesn't dilute who we are, confuse our direction of life and destiny, or quiet us down. Because if the devil can't stop you, he'll try to blur you out of the picture. That's good. So that you make no impact, make no difference in anybody's life. And that's not the plan of your father. David looked at the situation when he saw Goliath and said, is there not a cause? God has people for you to reach. Let me just throw this out that I believe will help a lot. One of the challenges the devil will try to do is cause you to get overly frustrated because the person you're trying to reach is not being reached. See, and one of the things that we can do is we can almost get where we think we're Jesus and we have to save somebody. And if it's the last thing I do before I die, that son of mine's going to get saved and he's going to go to heaven. Well, he needs to get saved and go to heaven, but he has a will you can't override. And though he needs to be reached, maybe God hasn't assigned you to reach him or her or whoever that might be. Did you hear me? It will free you up, because if we're not careful, we will add unnecessary pressure that does nothing more than cloudy the signal and message of God that would draw somebody to salvation. So, but I really, really want to see him get saved, so I'm going to do everything. Well, you just do what God tells you to do, because if you try to do everything, then you're trying to be Jesus. And when you try to be Jesus, he can't be Jesus. When he can't be Jesus, there's no power. And if there's no power, it's just a waste of time, because the Bible says you can build a house, but if God doesn't build it, it's done in vain. But that doesn't mean that God hasn't called you to reach somebody. God has a message he's given you, a voice, a sound, call it what you want, to make a big impact to reach somebody. And that'll free you. I remember growing up, and I learned this from my dad, because at first glance, you hear some people talk, and I thought when I was a young teenager and working on serving the Lord and growing and reading my Bible, and I just felt like I had to witness to everybody. Because if you're a Christian, and then you care about souls. If you care about souls, you don't want them to go to hell. If you don't want them to go to hell, you must talk to everybody. And that wasn't my temperament. It wasn't my personality, but I tried. In those days, we used to have tracks. Have you ever had, remember those tracks? Then someone came up with a great idea of making one look like a $100 bill, and that to me is the most offensive idea, because if somebody sees a $100 bill and picks it up and says, oh, you thought it was money, this is better, this is eternal life, you just fooled them. You know what I mean? Who's going to, it's like, you fooled me once, you're not going to fool me twice. Who's going to read that? Bad marketing idea. But anyway, and I remember trying to witness to everybody, and it, you know what I mean, it was so awkward, and I only did it for the moment until I could forget about it and move on. And I remember my dad saying, son, you got to learn that you don't have to witness to everybody. The Lord will show you who to witness to. Those are the ones you want to reach out to. When he gives you, that's why we do these tagged by God wristbands. I gave mine out, by the way. I need to get a tagged by God wristband. I'll get one later. Okay, so no wonder. So you guys, you're not generous. Somebody should have said, here, take mine, but that's okay. Too late now. Just testing the water of generosity around here. Come on, somebody. But because it teaches us not trying to hand out a bunch of them to everybody, but looking for those moments. Looking for those moments. And that'll free you, because you can't reach everybody, but you're called to reach somebody. And that's the rhythm of life. The devil will try to dilute you, silence you, blur you out of the picture so that you can't be effective for anybody, so that you won't reach destiny, that you won't accomplish what he's called you to accomplish. And it's our assignment to do what God's called us to do. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. David was an individual that reached that same situation one day. Here David had been anointed to be king, and yet he had the legal right of the kingdom. He was called to be king, but yet he had no access to the kingdom yet. Maybe you felt like that in times of your life. God, I know what you promised. You've anointed me. You called me. You told me. I know it's there. And God, I'm looking. God, I just know. And yet you don't see it yet. And so David was on the run. He was living in a little town. And make a story real short so we can use the illustrative point. When he comes back from battle one day, he only finds out that the enemy had come around, ransacked the town, was burning everything, took their possessions and their wives and children. Talk about a bad day. David was frustrated. David was overwhelmed. It said that even his mighty men were crying so loud, it was deafening. They were so distraught. They were so disappointed. They were so devastated. This was so not the plan of God. God, why'd this happen to me? And all the things that we deal with in life that could cause us to be distracted in life. And what made things worse was David not only was dealing with that loss and that disappointment, his own men decided that the best course of action was to turn on David and to kill him. So now he's dealing with rejection. And the Bible says that David went and encouraged himself in the Lord. He went and encouraged himself in the Lord, and God spoke. David went and encouraged himself in the Lord, and God spoke. I want you to notice something. That there is times in our lives that we're going to be discouraged or attacked or betrayed or talked about or disappointed, and things come. How we handle that makes a big difference if we camp out and stay in the valley, or if we move forward and climb back to the top of the mountain. If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 60. Let's put that verse on the screen. And the Amplified, the King James says, arise, shine, for your light has come. But I like this Amplified translation. It says, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you, rise to a new life. A couple things I want you to notice. One, there is a new life. When you think nothing's going your way or it'll never be better, or life is bad and it'll never improve, I want you to know, according to the Word of God, there is a greater tomorrow for you. There is a new life. Shout, there is a new life. And that's even good to encourage. Yeah, thank you for the two of you. Clap the rest of you. There is a new life, and that's a great illustration even for those of you who are just flying high. Cloud nine, everything is going great. I'm here to tell you that in Jesus, the best is yet to come. But life happens. Jesus said, in this world, in this life, you will have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. How can I smile when I want to frown, when I'm hurting? Well, how do I get to this new life when the pressure, the people, the problems, the circumstances, the weather, call it what you want, is trying to push me down? And the weight is so heavy, I don't know if I can even stand up. Arise from the depression and prostration in which the circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for the light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. There will be in life pressures that will try to hold us and push us down. Because if the devil can't stop you, he will try to erase you, blur you out of the picture, so you lose your effectiveness. Because when you're in the storm, have you ever noticed that? When it's your storm, it's huge. Just a week before, a friend of yours might have called and said, oh, I need you to pray with me. What's going on? And they tell you the problem, and they're crying and all upset. And you and your wisdom and insight and encouragement say, well, that's no big deal. God can handle that. Let's pray. Why don't you? And they're thinking, what do you mean? And then when it's your turn, you call them and say, I need you to pray. And they're like, it's not that big a deal. And you're like, what do you mean it's not that big a deal? They didn't say hi when I said hi to them. Let's think about that. I didn't get the raise. You know, whatever it might be, the doctor said. Because when you're in the storm, it tends to be overwhelming. It tends to not only be overwhelming, it tends to isolate you. You won't feel the partnerships of other people when you're in the storm because you tend to feel all by yourself. That's why some of you can't figure out, God, where are you? He never left you. See, you got to realize when you're in the storm, that's the best time to turn your feelings off. But I don't feel like anybody loves me. Hey, quit asking your feelings. I just feel like the Lord's left me. Quit asking your feelings. You got to get back to what's truth. And not what's your opinion or what's your feelings. Did you hear me? All right. Because there is a greater new life ahead of you. And you have to think strategic. Let's just take a moment back. Because some of you probably think, Lord, am I jinxed? Lord, is there a problem? Why do I deal with all this stuff? And you have to think strategic. When you're under attack, the devil just doesn't, when it comes from the devil, the devil's just not going to attack you because he wants to. He's attacking you, trying to get something from you or keep something from you. That means what you don't see ahead of you is so great that it fears the devil so great that he's attacking you with everything he's got to keep you from that, what God has for you. Amen? Amen? Because David encouraged himself in the Lord, and God spoke. And within 24 hours of that moment, at his darkest moment, at a moment that anybody would not have criticized David for throwing in the towel. Have you ever heard a story and you're like, man, if you throw in the towel, I totally agree. I totally understand. You've been in that fight. You're getting your head knocked off. I can totally understand. If you want to throw in the towel, I get it. I wouldn't blame you. I wouldn't judge you. Anybody could look at that story of David and say, David, I totally get it. If you want to quit right now, I totally understand. But David didn't quit. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And within 24 hours, he was sitting on the throne. It's usually at that doorstep of your victory where you're going to get hit and you feel like, it's not going to happen. I just need to quit. What is the pressures around you that is trying to blur you out and quiet you down and take you where you no longer can shine so you can't reach your destiny? And when you feel like, I just want to quit and give up, this is taking too long, it's not working, God, what's the problem? It's typically on the doorstep of your victory. And the devil's throwing everything he has, including the kitchen sink. But if that doesn't cause you to buckle your knees and quit, nothing will. David encouraged himself in the Lord, and God spoke. David encouraged himself in the Lord. How do we make this thing work? If you have your Bible still open, why don't you turn to Romans? Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. King James Version says, and be not conformed to this world. One translation says, do not be shaped by the cultures and the mindset of the world. The world has, we are in the world, but not of the world. When the Bible calls you a peculiar people, that's a funny word to say, peculiar people, it doesn't mean that you're to be weird. It means that you should stand out. You should be orange. You should be bright and bold in that your life shines. Not that you have to brag about yourself. Listen, if all you have is what you're bragging about, don't you enjoy talking to somebody that when you say hi and then they go into a 20-minute thing of all their achievements? Yeah, nobody does. I mean, and yet people do it all the time. It's like, why don't people get that that nobody really wants to hear 20 minutes of you telling how great you are? I just figure that if I have to tell you how great I am, maybe I'm not so great. Because if you're really great, you don't need to tell nobody. It should shine. Let's go back to this verse. Be not conformed. Don't allow the pressures, the people, the problems, the stress, the disappointments, don't allow it to shape you into what the world wants you to be. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed. Listen, if we have to watch reality TV programs to find out what we should wear, what we should drive, how we should talk, how we should live, we might be following the wrong examples. And God's not against fashion. Some of you, please help you. God's not against fashion. God's not against fashion. But what happens is if we're not careful, we'll start following the thinking of the world. And you have to just look at some of these situations and say, what were they thinking? You're 19. In a yellow Lamborghini. Everybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, just put two and two together. First of all, if you're gonna be dumb enough, I shouldn't say that, but if you're gonna be dumb enough to take drugs, smoke pot, and get drunk, and drive in a yellow Lamborghini, it's not like anybody's going to say, oh, look, a yellow Lamborghini. I mean, everybody's going to notice a yellow. You're drawing attention to yourself. Come on, somebody. You would look, you're a police officer. You would look at a yellow Lamborghini, right? Going 110 miles an hour. Okay. Well, he's a detective now. He's no longer a police officer. Congratulations on that promotion, by the way. You could, anybody with half a normal intelligence can look at these situations and say, that was some bad choices. Can't they see what they're doing? They say he made $53 million. First of all, I'm thinking for $53 million, he should have bought a faster car. Come on, somebody. Lamborghinis are fast, but if you got 53, come on, there's other things out there. Get a couple Bugattis. All right, somebody. All right. Some of you know what I'm talking about. No. There are $1.5 million cars. You know what I mean? If you got 53, what's... Okay, so, and he should have had better advisors, right? Because anybody could look at that and say, you don't want to do that. And this is just not one situation from one person. You can go through actors and singers and athletes, and some of them you're like, what were they thinking? They have to, you know, they have to be somewhat intelligent. Look at the level of success and what's been built. I mean, they just don't hand out $52 million to idiots. You know, I mean, you have to have certain amount of intelligence to get to that level of success. People around you, what were they thinking? Anybody could look at that and say, that's going to just lead them down the wrong path. Some of you still don't know what I'm talking about. That's okay. But the reality is that in their moment, they're not seeing it. Why? Because the kingdom of the world works in darkness. And Jesus said, when you walk in darkness, you're going to stumble at what other people seem and appears to be so obvious because they're in the light. Why? Because it gets shaped by the circumstances, the pressures, the problems, the people. How do we do that? so that you can stand strong on good days and bad days. Because it's the extremities that really define who, your character. How you act on the worst days, but how you act even on the best days. It's that extremity that people start really seeing who you are. How do you stand strong when you want to quit? How do you stand strong when you get these crazy ideas of, I could do that now? How do you stand strong? You don't allow the world and its thinking and its system to define for you your thinking, what is a priority, what is a value system. If you allow the world and media to define your value system will be all jacked up because theirs is. They're in darkness. They don't have a value system. They don't have the priority. But when you allow the light of God's truth, your word, the Bible says, is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Why? It will bring to your attention, give you wisdom where you had none, insight when you couldn't figure it out on your own. And it will show you. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Catch this. And then God spoke. God told David, I'm giving the victory. Go back after him, and you'll regain all that you lost and even more. But he obeyed what God said. We can get so, if we're not careful, we can get so caught up in the method of encouraging ourselves that we think that because we encouraged ourselves that we should win. And pray, and that could be taken on different forms. Praise God you came to church. Praise God you spent some time in prayer. Praise God that you read your Bible. All those things are good. Hear me. But the key to all of this is just not doing it. It's doing it until God speaks to you. God shows you. God, I'm in a storm and it's overwhelming. I feel all alone and no one cares. I can't even feel you. But I'm going to encourage myself. I'm going to spend time in the Word. I'm going to spend time in prayer. And God, I'm looking just not for an idea. I'm looking for a God idea. And God can give you a peace and a direction. And you know that you have a direction from God because he'll give you his peace. The Bible says in the Amplified Translation, let the peace of God be the umpire of your soul in all decisions, bring you with finality in answering any questions that might arise. There are times in your life you think, God, what should I do? And I don't know what to do. I'm overwhelmed by my surroundings, and I want to cave in and give in and just become like everybody else. Start encouraging yourself in the Lord and allow him to do what only he can do on the inside. Notice that verse, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Do you see that? Do you see that? Do you see that? I got the word. Be transformed. That's a change, a transforming. Not making you something different, making you a better you. You can begin to see God's will, who you are, what he's called you to do. Being transformed from something towards something. Transform. A transformation is better than just information. Are you listening to me? Even if you're a guest from out of town, I want you to catch this because it's so imperative in your walk with God, because the churches are full of people with information. They can quote the Bible. They know the Bible. They can debate the Bible. They can argue. And they define spiritual maturity of how much and how good that they can argue their point. But at the end of the day, I know people who can quote the Bible better than I can quote it, but they haven't allowed the word to change them one bit. It's more than information. It's a transformation. Praise God, you know it. You need to get to know it. You need to learn the Bible. But if all it is mental information, you will never be able to be what God wants you to be and achieve what God wants you to achieve and become who God's called you to become, because it's all in your mind of information. It's not in your heart. And Matthew 13 tells us when the word gets into your heart, it produces a fruit. It produces faith. It brings a change and makes you different. Now give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you want to praise him. What is happening, if we're not careful, is we are packing churches full of people and giving them good information. But you have to have more than a good idea or information, because it's just not an instruction of to-dos. There there is a real battle out there. There's real devils out there. There's real pressures out there. And what will cause you to stand strong and be transformed? It's not just the idea of information, but the transformation of God's word by God's power in your life, bringing a change on the inside of you. So when everybody says, why aren't you freaking out? I have a peace that exceeds my understanding because I am not bound by my understanding. A transformation. A transformation. We have to see, that's the key here. We can fill up people's heads with knowledge, but it's not knowledge that brings power, that brings change, that strengthens you to be code orange. It's the transformation. When you get in the word, and as we challenge you to, we got a reading program in the bulletin to challenge you to get in the habit of reading. When you get into the word, you're looking for God to do something on the inside of you. Because I know people who don't even believe in God who can quote the Bible. If that doesn't shock you, let me throw you another one. You can find in the Bible where the devil quotes the Bible. Do we need to learn it? Absolutely. But that's not the goal. The goal is for God to transform us. Because it's just not. Wisdom, instruction. You know what I mean? Some people, if you just teach them how to do something right, they'll be much better. And that's good. We call that maximizing yourself. You need to do that. You already learn how to handle money. You can actually pay off your debts and have more. That's good. If you learn how to eat and exercise and rest, drink water, can make you healthier. That's good. Did you hear me? That's all good. That, and in the church world, we have allowed some practical stuff to fall to the wayside, and now it's coming back, and a lot of preachers are basically just instructors on some good, practical, how to treat your spouse, how to be a friend, how to live healthy, how to manage your time and find, all those things are good, but those things won't break the enemy's power. Those things won't transform because they'll maximize who you are. But God wants you to come up to a level beyond your best where all the glory, the Bible says, is for him and not you. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have the anointing of God, the power of God. See, you can eat well, exercise, and still be dealing with a bad doctor's report. And there's something greater than all that. And it's the healing power of God that can set someone free. You can think positive, surround yourself with positive, affirming people, and still deal with the demon of depression. But the power of God will break the shackles that the enemy has used against the addict, the alcoholic, the pervert. Oh, come on, somebody. He doesn't want to just improve you. He wants to make you all a whole new you. And you can give somebody 10 steps how they can manage the issues, or you can set them free by the power of God. That's what we need. That's what sets us apart. That you're not bound by your past. You can be free. You can be free. You can be free. You can be free. Ah, I hear that in my spirit so loud. You can be free. You don't have to be a little better of what you used to be. You can be free. You can be free. You can be free. Oh, you know, I used to be an alcoholic, and so I just got this pull all the time. No, you can be free. Whom the Son has set free. I'm speaking prophetically in somebody's life. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Did you hear me? You don't have to be. When Jesus said that, it literally means that the trap that imprisoned you, he has not only set you free from it, but he has crushed it so never to be used against you. Don't buy into the lie of the devil and the world and the religious that your life, that you will always struggle with it. I'm decreeing the word of God. You can be free in the name of Jesus. That's like telling somebody that God's healed them from cancer, but they got to live with the pain. No, you don't. That makes no sense. Don't tell me that you come out of a bad lifestyle, now you always have to deal with that. There's something greater. Don't tell me that, oh, I used to be homosexual, so I always got to deal with that manner. No, you can be free in the name of Jesus. Why should we allow the enemy to put something in our lives to allow others to show where we've come from? When people look at you, they should look and say, my goodness, they just got it all together. How'd they do it? They don't know what you came out of because it's just not you. It's about him working in you, changing you from the inside out, from the foundation, from the root system, from the mindset, from the belief system, from the attitude, from the mannerisms, from the way you talk, bringing you into a place of light and victory where you will never go back to that crap again. Come on, somebody. You're better than where you came out of. Don't tell me some stuff is just impossible. Don't you look at me and tell me in your heart, say, well, you just don't understand. Some stuff is just impossible. It is what it is. Let me tell you about the arm stretched of Jesus on that cross who died, and by his blood, he has purchased you. He has saved you. He has delivered you. He is not Jesus. The word of God tells me that if he sent his son to die on the cross for you and gave up his own son for you, what else would he reject? You think if he just bought you something that costs $1 million that he's nervous about a $10 question? He just put his son on the cross for you. You're to be free. Did you hear me? You're to be free. Free from that drug. Free from that addiction. Free from that. I'm messing with the devil today. That's okay. Free from that pornography. Free from that corruption. Free from that lying spirit. I'm telling you, you don't have to be a silent victim. You can be a bright and bold billboard of the goodness of God and say, you might not tell it by what you see in my life today, but he set me free. There was a time I was so messed up. But he came. You don't have to understand it all. You don't have to figure it all out. You don't have to be a theologian like they questioned the man and said, you were blind. Who? How'd he do that? He said, I can't tell you that. All I can tell you is once I was blind, and now I see. Do you know what has happened? In the church world, we have preached a how to be better book instead of preaching the Bible. And the world looks at that and says, where have you been? We've done that for 50 years. But they need to see it. They need to see something that has not been done and that cannot be done by them. They can show me an addict that's learned to manage their addiction, but they can't show me an addict who's set free and has no taste of the addiction that came out of them. No desire in a weak moment to come back. I'm telling you, it's coming. Power of God, the glory of God's going to come and hit this earth in humanity like it never before, never been seen. I'm telling you, I'm telling you, I'm telling you, I'm telling you. You read Acts and you think that was powerful. You haven't seen anything yet. I'm telling you now, Jesus will, he will always leave with a bigger bang than he started with. He doesn't start with a bang and end with a whimper. I'm telling you, the power of God is getting ready to hit the church world. Just not a church, just ours, the church world. And you're going to see things flipping, things changing, things. Because we've got to get out of just a self-help mentality. It's more than good principles. This book is life. Everlasting life. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? We got to learn to stand strong even when we want to give in and quit. Be not conformed to the pressures that surround you and try to push you down and blur you out of the picture. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you will know really what belongs to you. Really who you've become and God's called you to become. See, if you don't know what belongs to you, you don't know what you can ask for. If you don't know what belongs to you, then you don't even know what you can do. Somebody in authority doesn't know their authority. They don't know what they can do. But a police officer that knows his authority can stand in front of a speeding car, point his finger, and say, stop. Because he understands his authority more than his ability. See, so, a child who understands what belongs to them doesn't feel bad going up to their mom or dad and saying, I would you like to buy me this? But if they don't know, if you don't know what you have, if you don't know who you are, if you don't know whose you are, you will live way below what belongs to you. We need a transformation from God's word that brings a change in every part of our life. Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap and praise him. Bow your head and close your eyes if you would. If you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking you to join a church.